You are listening to the New Day of Hope broadcast with Helena and Glennis Langley. Enjoy.
Welcome once again to the New Day of Hope broadcast. It's always a joy coming to you each and every week to share with you the good news of salvation. And today we have a great study prepared just for you.
Well, the scripture tells us we must trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways we must acknowledge God, and God will direct our path. Well, hello, dear loved ones. We are really excited to be in your homes and in your cars, wherever you are at this time. We are happy to be with you. And we know it's not a robbery for you to join us for the next 30 minutes. We know you will be blessed. We know your souls will be revived and refreshed in the things of the Lord. So right at this time, this is a very good time for you to call a neighbor or call a friend and let them know that the New Day of Hope broadcast is on the air. Well, last week at the end of our study, my wife asked you the question, would you know if you are drifting? We trust you have taken a little time to ponder on that question, to meditate on it, and to check the value of the question. Would you know if you were drifting? But today we want to continue now, and we want to first of all talk about things we should know about drifting. I mean, if I am going to invest my money in a bank or whatever it is, I would like to know a few things about that company or that bank before I do that. If I am going to move in a community, I would love to know a few things about the community before I move in to that community. And it is the same thing, the same principle with us and drifting. So let's look at a few things about drifting. First of all, you know, my friend, drifting requires absolutely no effort. You do not have to fight and work hard to drift. And we will see that in a minute. If you are in a boat and you stop the engine, and you stop rowing, you stop the engine, and you are just sitting in that boat, you know, in the next 5 minutes, you will find yourself in a different place in that water because you are going to drift away from where you are. The same is true for the Christians. The same is true for us. If we stop staying focused on the things of God, if we stop keeping our eyes steadfastly on the Lord, we too will find ourselves drifting away from God. So that is why we are told in the scriptures, in the text that we read in from the book of Hebrews chapter 2, it says we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We must learn to ponder on the word of the Lord and to hide that word in our hearts so that we won't sin against the Lord. So drifting really requires no effort. You just stop doing whatever you are doing and you will find yourself as a believer drifting away from God. That's not what we want for you. That's not what God wants for none of us. So that's why we have to stay focused on the Lord. Then it is an unconscious process. It is possible for us to drift unaware. You probably would not even know that you are drifting. In the spiritual realm, many individual Christians have slowly drifted away from the Lord. That's a sad state to be in when you are drifting away from the Lord. And I'm sure before this lesson is over, we will tell you a whole lot more about that.
And we never drift upstream or against the tide. No, you can never drift upstream. Faithfulness to the Lord is like oaring upstream. You know, you must constantly be adding to your faith. 2 Peter 1:5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You must continue to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So the moment you stop growing, you start going backwards or downwards, and the speed downstream increases. We all know that. Going downstream, the speed will increase. The dangers increase with the speed of the drift. When we hear the noise of the waterfall, we know it's already too late. When we lose sight of land, it is more difficult to discern that we are drifting. So as we move farther and farther from the Lord, we care less about what we need to do. So we need to be careful because, like I said a while ago, the speed downstream increases and it causes us to drift easily.
And so, my friends, you know, it is dangerous to others. Drifting is dangerous to others and to our own selves. Take, for example, a ship in the ocean is just drifting away. The engine is not working, so the ship is just drifting. You know, that becomes a hazard to all other vessels at sea. It is like parents who are drifting. They will soon lose the golden opportunity to teach their children what the word of the Lord says. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. He says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." See, many are tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine. So Ephesians 4 and verse 14 says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And that's why it behoves us to teach our children the ways of the Lord, to let them know what is right from wrong, and so that they can continue to stand firm in the things of the Lord. There's something else you need to know about drifting. Drifting always ends in shipwreck. I have to go back to the boat. A boat that is adrift will crash on the rocks or go over the falls. For those who drift spiritually through their own neglect, listen, my friends, there shall be no escape from a just punishment. How shall we escape, the text says, if we neglect so great a salvation? We cannot escape. That's why it behoves us to stay steadfast. We must be steadfast. We must be unmovable. We must always abound in the work of the Lord.
So in our world today, we have warning signs posted in almost every area of our life. When we come to an intersection, there is a sign to let us know when a stop sign is coming up. When we are entering interstate, we have yield signs. When dangerous chemicals are present, we see the biohazard signs. Warning sign that posts land are put there to warn people about trespassing on someone else's land. We have warning labels on our medicine. We are a society that is filled with warning signs. But why? Why do we have so many warning signs in our society? It is to keep us safe, or at least try to keep us safe. Just like the warning signs that we see today on our roads, on our medicine, and on so many other things in our society, God had posted warning signs along the road of life so that the believer can avoid danger. And the danger of drifting is real, or there won't be no need to warn against it. So again, I ask, are you drifting? So now we want to show you some common signs of drifting. And the first one is diminishing desire to study God's word and to pray. Or in other words, you have no desire to study God's word. And we know that the Bible is a unique book. It's a source of information. We can find whatever we need in the Bible. And without God's revelation, how could we truly know our origin, our purpose, and our destiny? We need the word of God to tell us. It tells us of sin's dreadful consequences and how God saved us from sin. It provides direction for a living, useful, and productive life. That's why Psalms 1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and what whatever he does shall prosper. When one loses their desire to study God's word, they are drifting. And we know that prayer is a wonderful blessing. It's an avenue to communicate with God. And we communicate with him through prayer, and we listen to him through his words. So Mark 1 verse 35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." So here we see that Jesus took time out to pray. He went out early in the morning and he prayed. He found a quiet place and he prayed to his Father. We see also in Mark 6 and verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray." So sometimes we got to get alone with God and pray. We need time to be by ourselves so we can communicate with our Lord. And he said in Luke 18 verse 1, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart." In other words, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because when the Christian prays less and less, drifting more and more. So we see here that when we neglect to pray and to read God's word, it's easy for all of us to drift away. Because when we do not pray, when we do not read God's word, we have no knowledge of what God is saying to us and what he wants us to do. So I encourage you to stay in the word and keep on praying to the Father.
Amen. And that really is one of the common signs of one who is drifting. We have to read the word of the Lord and study the word of the Lord. My wife read that in Psalms 1 a while ago. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly," and so on, "but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and it's in that law he meditates day and night." So when you start drifting, then that desire for meditating in the word of the Lord day and night is no longer with you, because we are drifting away from God. So with prayer and Bible study is not really important to us at that time. And that is a real sign of one who is drifting. But here is a common sign of someone who is drifting. You have no desire to be with God's people. You are embarrassed to be around other Christians like yourself. You are not comfortable to be with them. And this includes attending services to worship God. One should always have the attitude of the psalmist, my friends. Because if you are in fellowship with God, if you are in fellowship with your fellow believers, you are in the same ship with them, you will have a right attitude to be in fellowship and in service of the Lord. So Psalms 122 and verse 11 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And as a believer, in fact, as a child of God, no one should even have to tell you, "Let us go," because you already know. It's Sunday morning, and Sunday morning is the time where you do not have to tell me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. I know that's where I belong." So that's where I get myself ready to go into the house of the Lord. So we no longer rejoice in the worship of God, in the presence of the brethren, because we are drifting. My friends, there is no greater joy than when you are in true communion with God, when you are in true fellowship with God, and you enter the service of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is moving, and you can move along with that. Oh, glory to God. You feel the excitement, you feel the joy. I love when my fellow Christians come and say, "Oh man, the service on Sunday was awesome, and the minister shared this word or that word, and how they were blessed." And you can tell, you can see it on their faces. If Monday morning you can still brag about the service of the Lord and how great it was, then you know there is something good about that. So fellowship with God's people extends beyond the services of the church. We are to be concerned with edifying one another. That's what the Bible tells us. That is the duty of every believer. Romans 14 verse 19 says, "Therefore let us pursue the things which made for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." We have to build one another up in the faith. We cannot take on tearing one another down. Our responsibility is to build up one another in the things of the Lord. For the right kind of friendship strengthens us, while the wrong kind leads us into sin. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." When a Christian prefers the companionship of people of the world rather than fellowship with Christians, he is drifting towards the rocks of spiritual destruction. He is drifting towards the rock of spiritual destruction. My friends, we've got to be careful what we do as believers.
And you no longer have the desire to share the gospel. When one obeys the gospel, he knows God has blotted out his sins and made him a new creature. And he wants to tell the world about Jesus. You know, in Acts 8:4 says, "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." You can recall when you first got saved and you were telling everybody about Jesus. But somehow we have lost our zeal. We need to have a revival where we can have the zeal once more to go out and share the good news of Jesus. You know, 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, "For from you the word of God has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything." When a Christian no longer has the desire to take the message of salvation to others, he is drifting. So we need to share Christ with other people. In Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So we ought to go out and tell others about Jesus. And the times we're living in, it's crucial. We need to tell people about Jesus, because so many people are dying and going to a Christless eternity. So we need to get back and tell others about Jesus.
Amen. These are common signs of one who is drifting. Even before I continue, let me ask you, my friends, are you drifting from the Lord? Think about this question. Another common sign of drifting is that the thrill we get over the things of this world. We get excited about worldly things. When people are talking about going to the club and what happens in the club and all of that stuff, and some of us as believers, instead of us avoiding that, we get involved in the conversation and we get excited about that. The Apostle John warns us against the love of the world and the things of this world. 1 John 2:15-17. Watch this. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," watch this, "is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the scripture says, these things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." My friends, that's what God wants us to do his will. Even Jesus said, "I got to do the will of the Father." And he's challenging us today so we also can do the will of the Lord. We cannot let the things of this world drag us away from the Lord himself. That's where my hope is, in God, not in this world, my friends. There is nothing in this world that should charm us and take us away from the glory that God is bestowing upon us. So such an increasing enjoyment in worldly pleasure, Paul describes some who were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If you become a lover of pleasure more than you are a lover of God, then you know you are drifting away from the Lord. If we reach the point when we find more pleasure in some worldly activity than meeting with others to worship God, we definitely are spiritually adrift. Such are some of the signs of drifting away from God. If we are to remain close to God, it will not be easy, but we can do it by the help of the Almighty God. So we know if we are not careful that we can be influenced by the world, by the things of this world. We can get ourselves so occupied with material things and the advancement can sidetrack us from pursuing things of eternal value. Bible tells us we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. So we have to watch about with the influence of this world. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 8 to 10, I want to read that scripture to you. It says, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draws men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows." And that's what the world is influencing us to do. Hey man, you can make money by doing this. You can make money by doing that. And when you weigh it down, we know that has nothing to do with what doth saith the Lord.
So to avoid drifting, you must keep rowing. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence, and it means concentrated effort. You got to make an effort in order to keep rowing. And 2 Peter 1 verse 5 and 10 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." My friends, there is no place for retirement in living the life of a Christian. You know, Philippians 3, 12 to 15 says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." And the only way that can happen is when we stay in the Word. He said he will renew our youth as an eagle. And the more you read God's Word, is the more younger, the more radiant you will be.
Amen. We are talking about ways to avoid drifting from the Lord. To avoid drifting from the Lord, things we have to do. So my wife just finished dealing with the fact that we must keep on rowing. You must row, row your boat gently down the stream. A song we used to sing long time ago. Merrily, merrily, life is but a dream. So to avoid drifting from the Lord, you have to keep on rowing. You keep on going forward. Then another thing you have to do, you must watch out for the undercurrents. We must always be on guard for undercurrents of temptation. My friend, let me say that again. I say we must always be on our guard for undercurrent of temptation. For we have a fleshly nature which wages war against our soul. And 1 Peter 2:11 says it well. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. And to be able to abstain from fleshly lust, it means that you have to be committed to the cause of Christ. You have to be walking in the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So therefore now, my friends, every believer who is led by the Spirit will not go against the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit and if you are walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So in order to avoid drifting, you got to expect to go against the tide. And there are many tides to sweep us away. We have popularity, peer pressure, the praise of others, worldliness, neglect, indifference, lack of interest, lack of concern. You have no desire to share the word, like we said earlier. And all these things can sweep us away. If one drifts along with the majority, he certainly will be lost. The Bible says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So when you know what the word says, you got to do it. So in order to go against the tide, you know, you will have trials, you will have testing, temptation, all these things will come at you. But you know who in whom you have believed, and he's able to keep you. So you got to continue doing what the word says, and then you'll be able to stay afloat.
Amen. Well, my friends, you know, we never bring our broadcast to a close without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus your choice. He says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today can be that very day. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for yet another time when we can call upon your holy name. You are great. You are awesome. You are the Savior of this world. And we pray for those who do not know you, that they would today would cry out to you, and that you would save them from their sins. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if this program has been a blessing to you or has impacted your life in one way or another, we would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us at newdayofhopeatlanta@gmail.com. That email address again is newdayofhopeatlanta@gmail.com. So until then,
let your heart go on singing.
Until then,
with joy, my friends, you ought to carry on.
Bye now.
God bless you.